to another episode of WSP Podcast. COVID's impacting everything these days, and it's impacted the Pac-12 football schedule in a big way. Larry Scott announced that there will be no non-conference games this upcoming season. What kind of impact does that have on the Pac-12 conference overall? Big Ben and Kay Wynn get into that shortly. But before we do, friendly reminder, rate and review us wherever you're getting your podcasts. 5 stars. Also, WST_podcast on both Instagram and Twitter. Give us a follow. You can also email us, WSTPodcastShow@gmail.com. Give us your thoughts and feedback. Big Ben, Kay Wynn, WST Podcast, Pac-12 COVID Impact coming up.
Welcome back to WST, your West Coast source for sports. And today, it's Pac-12 football. And you know what's happening in the next couple of weeks? Nothing, because the Pac-12 shut down non-conference following the Big Ten's lead. So what does that mean, Big Ben?
Well, I don't know. Did it come from Larry Scott getting COVID? COVID last Friday. Big Ten announced, I don't know, sometime maybe marginally before that time. And he said, well, I've got COVID. We're going to shut it down. At least we're not going to send teams elsewhere non-conference games. So yeah, what's the impact?
Well, so L.A. is a hot spot and Arizona is a hot spot. You've got two teams in L.A., obviously two teams in Arizona. They couldn't start training in the next couple of weeks to get ready for those early games. So they had to call it. They had to do something. I also read where the Pac-12 CEO group was looking to buy out Larry Scott. But then he got COVID, and if they fire him, he'll get workers comp.
just rework his contract.
Yeah.
Say, just find a little amendment to it, addendum, and say, if you get COVID, you are no longer able to handle commissioner responsibilities of Pac-12. We have the right to replace you with no cause, no financial obligation. See ya. And then Big Ben, hey, how are you? I'll come in on the cheap.
But the Pac-12's in trouble. Like, no conference games. Their teams are all based on potential, but the Pac-12 uses the non-conference to build back their credibility that's been hit over the last 5 years.
You're exactly right. God, there's so many games that I wanted to see, Kay Wynn. There are so many games, and I wouldn't say so many.
There's a lot. I got some data for you, too.
Go for it.
36, 24, 5. 36, 24, 5. The Pac-12 has 36 non-conference games. So Each team, 12 teams, get 3 non-conferences. That comes to 36. Last year, the Pac-12 went 24-12 in non-conference games. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's good. That's awesome, right? No.
That's pretty good.
Because if you look at the Power 5, the Pac-12 went 5-3. There are three losses. Oregon lost to Auburn to kick off the year, which put us a long road towards claiming a spot in the BCS. And then UCLA played Oklahoma, number 5. Now, no one thought UCLA would win, but if they could have
bounced,
snuck in an upset, that would have helped out the Pac-12. So they lost that one. And then the third game that they lost was Okie State beating Oregon State. Those were the three best non-conference games that the Pac-12 had. No wins.
Well, here's the difference between last year, and I looked at this too, last year and this year. You talk about Oregon State, UCLA, Oregon, yes, front runner, Auburn, we could have won that game. We probably seen Oregon in the college football playoff conversation. And then you had California beat Ole Miss, great, on some horrible officiating. This year, completely different, Kay Wynn.
But before we get into this year, if we go back to last year, this will be a great segue. Cal, you'll cut that out.
Cal
beat Ole Miss, but then they lost 4 straight games. If you look at the 5 wins that the Pac-12 had against the Power 5 conferences, you had in the Big 12, U of A beat Texas Tech. Oh, Texas Tech was awful.
Yeah.
Then you had Cal beat Ole Miss. But then we demolished the Big 10. You know why? Because Stanford beat Northwestern, who only won 3 games. Michigan State lost to Arizona State, but they were down. They were 5th in their conference. And then who else did you have? You had Nebraska, we beat Nebraska. Colorado beat Nebraska. And Nebraska went on to win very little games. Those were the biggest games of the year.
Right. You had the second tier teams. No one in the Pac-12 conference or outside of Oregon. I'll say that. You didn't have the upper echelon teams. Now, maybe you had USC playing Notre Dame in their standard rivalry game. But this was the year, K-1. Not only are we going to miss out on North Dakota State and seeing Trey Lance come into Oregon, that initial game, potential upset trap game. Not only are we going to miss Idaho coming to Pullman, go Cougs.
Houston coming to Pullman too.
The Cougs versus the Cougs, another matchup. BYU, straight up independent school, misses on out on three Pac-12 games.
No Holy War this year.
No Holy War. That game started in 1896, K-Win.
It was a couple years after you were born.
Yeah. Gray hair. Chuba Hubbard, we don't get to see OK State this year play Oregon State. But the big games that we miss out on, USC, who is a top, what are they ranked initially?
They're like 16th now, right? Right around
16th, 19th, top 20, call it that, play Bama. We're going to miss Oregon, who's a top in the top six, five, six, depending on who you ask, play Ohio State, who's currently, I think, number two. Yeah. In the country. And then you get
Heisman hopeful Justin Fields.
Exactly. And then you get Michigan missing out on playing UW. Both two out of three of those games are at home for the Pac-12. Yeah. And then one's on a neutral field. So we have a pretty good opportunity to take our top tier teams. Most would argue that maybe Arizona State's in there, but those are the top three teams in the Pac-12 between Washington, Oregon, and USC. And so everything lined up perfectly for the Pac-12 to usher in this new idea that we're back, right? Mm-hmm. And with Slovis, now Oregon has an amazing defense, and then Washington's got a great D too. The idea that if we could have won two out of three of those games, it props up those teams to make a run at the CFP, something we haven't been in a long time.
I agree. And why I'm wearing this Cal hat is because Cal played TCU at Cal. That would have been another big game with Justin Wilcox. If we could have beaten them, TCU's been good over the last couple of years. That just adds to the Pac-12's resume. I agree. We're missing out this year with no non-conference.
The Cheez-It Bowl. Go back to that amazing Cheez-It Bowl between Cal and TCU. If you want a great, if you're not doing anything in the time of COVID, watch that entire game. It was a tobacco, but still, I agree. Would have been fun to watch. A lot of these non-conference matchups, even teams like Hawaii, who are going to miss out on playing three Pac-12 teams. So not only does it hurt us, but it hurts other teams in and around us. You know, most would say that Bama was going to crush USC, but you never know until, you know, the end of the game. So you want to play those games. Even if it's close, people look at us and say, okay, USC may not be the cream of the crop. You look at Oregon, and if Oregon beats Ohio State at home, which they haven't been to Autzen, and Autzen's a tough place to play, the credibility of the Pac-12 is incrementally higher than it was in any other year. Backdating, I don't even going back to 2010 when Oregon made the college football playoff and made the actual national championship. So,
you know who's missing out the most is UCLA. So this was the year that Chip Kelly could get four or five wins, maybe sneak into a bowl game because of his non-conference schedule against Hawaii, San Diego State, New Mexico State. Everyone's like, all right, UCLA's starting out 3-0. Ooh, that seat just got a little hotter because he may only win three games this
year. We need to get Benny Block back because I think he'd say that same thing. After all these non-conference games, you don't get guys, you know, let's be honest. Non-conference games are used to get people acclimated, freshmen, maybe redshirt freshmen acclimated to offense, get people used to playbooks, run different things, you know, run different sets, things you wouldn't show normally in conference. Or you hold back plays, one of the two. Now you're going straight into conference. And
straight into must-win mode.
Must-win. So let's talk about some of these. Do you want to get in the key conference games, or do we want to start strength of schedule? Do we want on a Big Ben's college football index, Pac-12 index?
Let's go. Let's get into the conference games.
Okay. So here's how I see it. There are three games that are vital.
Well, before you get into that, now, so without three non-conference games, that means each Pac-12 school has nine games. Do you think they're going to add one more game so that there's 10 games? Do you think they'll add two more games so that there's 11 games and everyone has to play everyone and there's no duck in Oregon?
I don't want to cut this podcast short. Honestly, there's not going to be a college football season. So
go back to your internet fight, buddy.
In theory, theoretically, yes, you could see if Larry Scott comes out of this COVID, you get people say if it's local, if it's locally advantageous, meaning Cal and Stanford don't play or some of these locals teams, Arizona, Arizona State, maybe you fold those in. Normally they play every year, so you don't see that. But maybe if there's teams, say at the end of the year, rather than a bowl game, say we call bowl games off just for the travel, maybe you see supplemental games. I don't know. Inverse to that, K-Win, what I think is going to happen is they expand the college football playoff to 8 teams.
They have to.
But are you going to play a Pac-12? Now you have to play. So I think they still stick with the nine games, the nine-game conference. And then you still play the Pac-12 championship.
My sources are telling me they're going to add a game, and it's going to be 10 games, and we'll know by the end of this month. Because they want an even playing field, right? Because if it's nine games, you have four on the road, five at home, or five at home, four on the road. And you do not want to hear those Pac-12 coaches whine. So I think they're going to add one more game so it's split. It's 5-5, even playing field for everyone.
I could see that. I could also see them. We're not the only conference, let's be honest. You got the Big 12, who only has 10 teams. You know, they're only going to be able to get nine games in as it is. Now, to your point, I could see the commissioner coming back and saying, we're going to play that 10th game so that it is even home and home, or you get same home as away. But then how do you determine who plays who? And do you do it after the fact, mid-season? Do you look at records like, hey, we're going to go make sure that we have credibility? Or do you look at it as, hey, this person's undefeated, Oregon's undefeated throughout conference. Let's go make them a cupcake out in Colorado. So they're still undefeated after the fact.
No, it's a great point, because right now UCLA and Utah don't play Oregon in the nine-game schedule. So if it moves to 10, who does Oregon want to play? Oregon wants to play UCLA. They don't want to play Utah, especially exactly. If that has to be at Utah. That's why it's interesting. But Chip Kelly is rubbing his magic genie, hopefully, that he doesn't play Oregon.
No one wants to go to Rice-Eccles. K-Win, one data point for you. The last time we had a team go undefeated in conference play was 2010 with Oregon.
Was that with Mark Mariota?
No, that was back. The quarterback was a guy named Thomas, I believe. So they went 10-0. That's the last time we've seen a team come out undefeated in Pac-12 play. It might have been in Pac-10 play at that point. We beat up on each other.
Yeah.
And I don't think this year is going to be any different, but there are some key games. And I have an idea for us.
All right.
As a Pac-12 future commissioner, after Larry Scott withdraw,
rehabilitate and take his talents elsewhere.
There you go. Thank you. So the first game that I want to highlight is, so you talked about the first games, or the biggest games being, they're pretty early as I look at it. So you got ASU versus USC, September 26th. This would be the opening weekend of conference play.
Wow.
This is at USC, Slovis versus Daniels. We'll get into Heisman talk in a little bit, but two of the top quarterbacks, if not the top quarterbacks in the conference. Winners in the driver's seat, as I see it, for the South, both ranked in the top 25 currently. And then the next weekend, you get UW at Oregon on October 3rd.
Those are two good games back to back.
Exactly. So hear me out here. So on October 3rd, both new QBs, Jimmy Lake's first time in Oregon. Oregon's one of the last to do another debut for a new Oregon quarterback. What I say we do as a Pac-12, whoever wins those two games, USC, ASU, or UW or Oregon, everyone else just lay down.
Wow. What about your Cougs?
I would love to say that Rolovich and his bucket hats are going to be able to put up a good fight. Now, I believe they will. They'll surprise some people. But, hey, let's play for at least a few teams undefeated. Let's come to consensus. We want to get back to the college football playoff. If they don't expand.
You want to rework the schedule to benefit either.
I'm not saying rework the schedule. No, I'm saying, hey, there's a wink, wink, nod, nod.
Oh, a gentleman's agreement.
Yes, whoever wins these two games, they elevate themselves to the Pac-12 North. the subsequent other team between ASU, USC, Pac-12 South, everyone else, take a loss, take an L, whether it's by 1 point, bad officiating, whatever you want to do, people coming down with COVID, hope that doesn't happen. But then you get to a Pac-12 North versus South conference playoff game in which they're both undefeated. Wow. Now, that could happen. The only crux there is if USC and Oregon both win, they play again on November 19th or 17th.
Where is that game?
It's at Oregon.
Ooh.
So that's a tough one for Helton.
Yeah.
Who knows what happens from here now until then? They can't even play spring, but I think, getting back to what we talked about, I believe the Pac-12, this was their year in which we could have either said, we are a conference, we are a Power Five, we're back. Or you could have, or subsequently, you could have seen us
stumble,
dissolve into, all of a sudden the Big Ten has 20 teams and we have four. Something like that along those lines.
The only thing is certain is it's cannibalism. The Pac-12 eats its own. Every week, someone beats someone that they shouldn't. But this year, hopefully the games are played, we don't have the non-conference as a stepping stone to say like, no, Cal is good. They beat TCU.
Right. Or
Oregon, beat Ohio State. You know, that's okay. Maybe USC is better than we thought. We don't have that. We have a little disrespect right now, but no one's going to know how good we are because we're only playing each other.
So I looked up how the college football playoff committee actually decides who gets in the college football playoff. And it's like 14 points are all egregious, right? But a lot of it, what comes down to, and this is why they have strength of schedule and FPI, football power index, or whatever you want to call it. But you're right. If you win one of those games, getting back to what we said earlier, if you win one of those marquee games, whether it's you beat Michigan, whether it's beat Ohio State, or whether it's you beat Bama, that washes away any bad non-conference loss, in my opinion, considering that they go on to do well. This was the only opportunity back to the year previous. We beat Texas Tech. Who cares, right? But if you beat a top 15 team early in the season, they continue to do well, and you can come back and say, Oregon's case, we beat Ohio State, and Ohio State went on to be 11-1. You're punching your ticket right there.
Yeah.
Subsequently, same thing for someone like UW. They go on to win the Pac-12 championship game and beating Michigan, but they lose to the Cougs in the Apple Cup. Still punch the ticket.
Yeah.
That's an easy segue into that. So you're right. This was a year in which I believe we would have had a marquee game, marquee win, and it would have washed away maybe an in-conference loss somewhere in the season.
Notre Dame, you have your non-conference that are front-loaded, but then it's always USC later in the year against Notre Dame, Stanford against Notre Dame. And when USC was good and they kept going to those bowl games, they won national championships, they would always beat Notre Dame later in the year, and that just added to their resume. And then they don't have that opportunity. And for Stanford, who knows how their year's going to turn out, but a win against Notre Dame could catapult them up in the rankings or to a better bowl game.
How about if you're Notre Dame, Brian Kelly? What if ACC goes conference only? Guys, what do we do? Scrimmage against each other entire season?
I was going to ask you that. I was like, who do they play? I don't know.
The sacrifice of being independent, BYU's in the same seat.
Yeah, they could pick up some games against Hawaii. Hawaii gets time to play. Hawaii and Portland State.
Exactly. Maybe, yeah. Utah State, miss out big. Just go play Utah. Yeah, go to the state of Utah. Who knows? But when you look at the strength of schedule, just getting to some data points here, if you look at the strength of the schedule outside of just in conference, I mean, you got USC at 27, but no one within the top 20 again. So we're not going to have that marquee games, those marquee games to win a game and turn that strength of schedule into top 10, top five type areas. So now you look at the football power index, and Oregon's at number 8, USC 13th, Washington's at 28. Oregon, as I see it, it's Oregon or USC.
Yeah. Especially Oregon has the favor, in my opinion, because they play USC in Oregon.
Exactly. So if we're going to see anyone in the college football playoff, my money is on Oregon. And if USC, somehow they find a way to play Notre Dame, say late in the season, like you talked about, one of those games where they want to play a 10th game and they say, hey, this is a marquee game for us for both colleges. We want to keep the tradition going. And they beat Notre Dame and then they win the Pac-12 championship, sure, punch their ticket.
Yeah.
That's considering there's only four. I think they go to eight this year.
They might go to eight.
They might say, hey, keep the conference games. If everyone goes full conference slate, keep the conference games. We'll go to eight. Any league. Now, here's the odd part is a couple smaller sub-power five leagues that already say we're not playing.
Here's what we're going to do. WST sponsored BCS. We're taking the winner of all the Power Five conferences. They automatically go to the playoffs. The one wild card is the next best team out there. What do you think of that?
Next best team among the Power Five?
Initially I thought the Power Five, or I'm just saying out there in college football, you give a chance to the little guy.
Well, that's going to be tough. I would think you go the Power Five, I'll get an entry.
All the winner. Wait, we're talking about who wins the championship, right?
Right. I think everyone but the, yeah, we have a conference champ. Most have conference championships.
The Big 12 doesn't.
Big 12 doesn't. They'll figure that out. They have to. And then you take, probably you use the committee to pick the next two best teams. Now here's where the tricky part comes, because I don't know how many sub Power Five teams are actually, leagues are actually going to play.
Yeah.
So, you know, is Boise State, you know, are those teams actually going to play enough teams? Who knows? Maybe they're teams that pick up some of those 10th games, as we're talking about, outside of the conference schedule that allowed them to go. It's a qualifier potentially into the eight. But I think we go to eight. And then you get to, in theory, 12 games. 12-0 wins you the title. Yeah. 12 or 11-1 wins you the BCS championship.
Yeah. I think it's either eight or – I was thinking you go six, and then the number one team gets a bye, and the number two team gets a bye.
They never do that because you're not playing any of their games. You're wrong.
All right.
You're wrong. They're not playing any of their conference opponents. They have no way to compare, because normally what they do, and this was what I did read in what the committee looks at.
If someone's undefeated in the SEC, you're not going to give them the number one seed?
Well, if someone's undefeated in the Pac-12, you're not going to give them the number one seed?
I don't think that's going to happen.
Right, exactly. So it's all arbitrary at that point. So who knows? Because we're not going to see any other teams playing any of the other conference teams up until the BCS potentially. So at that point, you know, the committee kind of has to look at, all right, let's just look at pure records. Let's make it simple as possible. Five in, evaluate two other teams that we believe should be in across those Power Five, and then insert a sub five. Then you take you have your ranking. So if you believe the best seed out of the SEC, they play that sub Power Five team. Boom, there you go. And then you have rankings beyond that.
I like it. But this is the year where the Pac-12 network cripples us, hurts us the most, because we don't have Oregon playing Ohio State. We don't have USC playing Bama. We don't have Cal playing TCU. And you know what? The only subscribers of the Pac-12 network are me, you, and your dog, Roy. So no one's going to see Slovis play. No one's going to see Daniels play.
If I'm ESPN and I'm conference-only games, where's my stack ranking on what I'm going to show? SEC, ACC, especially anyone with Clemson in it, mm-hmm. we'll take that. Big Ten, probably in the same track. Then you're like, all right, well, we got to pick up. Maybe we pick up Oklahoma, Texas, of course. Maybe we pick up Texas versus someone else within the Big Ten, Big 12. But you're right. Pac-12 is going to be down there. I mean, the only games that I imagine them picking up is the three we highlighted. So you're right. No one's going to be seen. No one's going to be heard. We're just going to show up at the college football playoff with our rights in, and hopefully we win a game.
Yeah. That's why I think this year for the Heisman, they should actually have it at the very end of the year. You know, so like we saw how they did in the conference, but let's see how they do in the BCS before we make our decision, because that's the only way you can see them playing against other opponents and they're not just beating up on Florida State and Va Tech.
Just give it to Trey Lance right now. He's not even going to play. Give it to him right now.
Yeah.
No, it's going to be interesting, but the overarching, and from everyone that I've heard of, the conference only schedule does not help the Pac-12, especially this year. Yeah. It's we're going to remain hidden. We're not going to be seen. To what you said, the Pac-12 network still isn't on DirecTV. you got to subscribe for like $50. No bar is going to do that anywhere in the country because they don't want to show Cal versus, you know, Oregon State, or even, you know, someone walks in like you with that Cal hat and says, I'm going to buy chicken wings on happy hour and two margaritas. They're going to say, kick rocks, go to, you know, five towns over to actually watch the game. So that makes the early games, ASU, USC, UW at Oregon, and then USC at Oregon, that much more prevalent. If we show well there, we'll see. My other theory is, let's just simulate the games. We got college football back on video mm-hmm. games. As long as you dial those in, simulate those early games, and then you go in. Have the college football playoff committee take that into account.
I like it. Add it to the resume.
Exactly.
You want to wrap up? You want to talk some more football?
No, I'm good. I think I'm good. Penei Sewell from Oregon is another guy. And then Halakar Rashid, top 50 players that we're going to miss seeing. But
DTR's breakout year. Year three, him and Chip are coming back strong, DTR.
Do you hear UCLA wants a third party to come in because they believe that the athletics programs may not be looking out for their best interests?
Yeah.
And just claim.
That means that team is already in trouble and the season hasn't even started.